Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane here with our host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson, as we address a topic today that is so incredibly relevant to your family right now. And it is so important, Doctor, that I'm going to just let you jump right in and explain where we're headed today.
Well, Luann, some of our listeners will remember that we devoted programs a few months ago to the folks out there who have been out of work and simply could not find a decent job. Mm-hmm. And there are millions of Americans like that out there today. They're in that dilemma. And the emotional trauma of being seemingly unwanted and not being able to pay the family's bills and so on, that's devastating. Mm-hmm. And it's tough on children and the entire family. So we came at the economic crisis that this country has been going through from that perspective. But today we want to approach unemployment from another direction with the help of a wonderful businessman, a great friend, an author, a speaker, and an entrepreneur, and a Family Talk board member. Mm-hmm. He's been with us several times, and there will be many more in the future, I'm sure. Dr. Ken Eldred is with us. He has a different take on the economic crisis and its effect on families and individuals. We're going to talk about that today, and I know it's going to be helpful to the listeners who are just really struggling.
Well, sometimes you just need some practical application to walk through, and this will provide that.
Yes, and I'm particularly interested in the perspective that Dr. Eldred has shared with me just in the last couple of days. Had a board meeting yesterday. Ken, welcome back to Family Talk. And let me ask you a question as a place to start. Have you ever been out of work? Have you walked this path I just described? Have there been times in your youth or even more recently when you just really wondered if God might have forgotten about you?
Well, first of all, thank you, Dr. Dobson, for having me on the program. It's great to be here. I'm very excited about what we're going to talk about today because I've been through this perhaps it dates me, but I started my search for a business opportunity during a recession. People around the country today say nothing has been like this. But I'd like to remind us all that at the time I started in 1973-75, things were just as bad as they are today. We had 8% unemployment. There were gas lines, half a mile long, mm-hmm. in places. There wasn't enough gas. Prices were going through the roof. The stock market had dropped 50%. You know, people couldn't get cash for mortgages, let alone bank loans for businesses. I mean, this is not an unusual and this is not new.
Lasted a little longer.
This one's lasted longer. That's true. But in those days, I was looking for a job. The company that I was working with had been sold and moved to St. Paul. And I was out of a job. I was living in California, and I began looking around for things to do. At the same time, the Lord was talking to me. At 15, I had committed my life to Christ, but I wasn't living for Him. And in that process of looking, I was also looking for Him. So there's a lot of things going on in my life at that point. And every day, money was going out the door. I had none coming in the door. The pressure was enormous.
Were you married and you have a family?
I was married and had one child, and we had one on the way. So we're not unusual like a lot of people.
That is as disconcerting as almost anything you can go through, because there is this assault on self-worth that is related to work and to a job. And if you go from place to place to place and ask for work, which is demeaning in itself, and sometimes they don't even let you in the door, or I'm told now that they don't even answer emails or answer letters that come. They just ignore them. So you don't – it's like the whole world hates you or nobody needs you. That's terrible. Did you feel that?
Oh, absolutely. There was a time when I had 22 rejection notices and one job offer. Mm. You know, I took it. But the feeling is terrible. And it's hard to imagine that nobody really wants you. You know, and it's not about you, really. It's not about the individual. And it's something that we need to learn how to get beyond. Sometimes these devastating times, it's like hitting your thumb with a hammer. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, in that pain, it's hard to remember the rest of your body's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and we forget. And one of the things the Lord showed me was that each one of us are unique. We have a purpose. You know, He loves us. He's built us with certain capabilities. And just because some people don't recognize those or don't need those, it's because we haven't found where the Lord wants us to be. Mm-hmm. So we need to come back to Him, and we need to focus on who He is. And that's what I learned during those early days. I wanted to be a warrior for God, not just a weekend warrior. And I began to say that whatever I did in business, Lord, I wanted to do it for You. I later found out that God has purposes for everybody's life. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand that at the time. And that He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is going to accomplish what He plans to do in your life. And not to be discouraged. There are doors that get closed, but there are doors that open. And if we sit down and stop, we lose that encouragement.
Hmm. As you look at our economic circumstances today in the Western world, and especially in the United States, what's your take on what has happened to us? Was it inevitable? Was it caused? How do you see it, and where is it going?
Of course, the problem in the United States with the enormous amount of debt, the significant number of regulations that have limited business opportunities has been a real difficulty. But on the other side, when I started businesses a couple of years ago, we had a limited market. It was the United States and a little bit of Europe. But today, you have middle classes in India, in China, in Brazil, you know, around the world where a single idea can benefit by providing millions of dollars of revenue. And so today, even though we have all these issues, I think opportunities for people are greater than they have ever been in my lifetime.
Now, this is what you said to me yesterday, and that's a thought I had not had and no one's ever expressed to me, that the chances for success, including financial success, may be greater today than in the heyday of, you know, America's prosperity 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, the Reagan era and so on. Why do you say that?
Wonderful question. Most people take a traditional view thinking that if everything's really bad, then it's got to be bad for me and it's got to be a bad environment and nothing succeeds during those times. But I'd like to point out a couple, you know, name a couple of companies that have one thing in common, you know, Chili's, Foot Locker, Alamo Rental Car, Foxconn, which is a huge supplier of technology products that you probably bought, you don't know because they have different brand names on them. Shiloh Home, Specialized Bicycle, you know, Hyatt Corporation, Burger King, IHOP, FedEx. You know, what do these companies all have in common? Oh, and Hewlett-Packard, I would like to add that one. Mm-hmm. What do they have in common? They all started in a deep recession. Hmm. All of them. You know, and they were started by individuals who said, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. You know, this is what I do. This is what I know well. And sure enough, many of these have come to be great companies. So the question is not whether, you know, is the risk any greater today? Yeah, it's about the same. You know, in startup businesses, it's about 96% of them fail within 5 years. But that's not because of the economic environment that we're in. It's because of poor preparation. For example, you know, who starts building a house before they have an architectural plan? Yeah. You know, some sort of a layout or an idea of what the place should look like. You know, putting it on paper is pencil and paper. It's cheap. You know, but you start building a room and you don't like it, you rebuild the room. The cost is overwhelming. And chances of failing to complete that project go way up through the roof. So while business opportunities remain about the same as in terms of potential risk, we can really mitigate those risks if we think about it, and we do that in our lives.
Now, the seeming contradiction there is that people today can't borrow money. It takes money to start a business. In the past, you could get a loan. You paid a lot for it, but you could get it. Doesn't that make it a bigger handicap now to start something?
You know, most people believe that you need a lot of money to start a business. And I'm glad you asked that question because that's typically not the case. Without really good planning, without really thinking through what the opportunity is, it doesn't matter how much money you have. But people can start businesses without a lot of money. You know, let me just point out from a scriptural point of view, you know, how things start. You know, in Genesis, God said, "Let there be light." He didn't sit down, get out his hammer and his saw, and create light. He said, "Let there be light." In a little story I told my children over the years as we'd go through a major city is, look at those skyscrapers. How do you think they got there? And one would say, well, you know, somebody was a contractor. Another one might say, well, you know, they had financed it. And, you know, and then somebody would say, well, they had an architect. And I said, that's not how that building got there. That building got there because somebody talked it into existence. Mm-hmm. You know, I have an idea. This is what I want to do. This is how I want to do it. And that doesn't take money. It takes, you know, it takes a certain amount of commitment and faith and support of God in doing the purpose that He has in mind for you.
So are you just referring to a type A driven person who has an MBA degree in business? Is that who can do this?
Oh, that's a great question, Luann. No, absolutely not. In fact, one of the things that God did for me as I was going through this environment and trying to decide what I was going to do, He gave me a set of priorities, which were God's priorities, and I wanted to follow Him. And those were simply God first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things and His righteousness and all these things will be added unto you, you know, 6:33 in Matthew. And then, you know, those that fail to take care of their family are worse than the heathen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, 1 Timothy 5:8. And I began to see that there were things that were priorities. So as a business guy, I sat down and said, God is first. And what does that mean? Family is second. And what does that mean? My wife, my children, and what does it mean to be successful with those two? And how much time does that take? And then what's left? Well, I found I had 40 hours a week. I think I'm the only entrepreneur, at least in Silicon Valley, who started a major corporation on 40 hours a week.
Hmm.
I received an award for my entrepreneurial efforts, but that was not the reward. The reward was having a family that loves me, having a wife that loves me, having a place to go where people love me. And these things were done on the side. They were sort of third. So it's not about being a tough type A person, but it's about doing some things that everybody can do that are very simple. And I hope to get to those this morning so we can outline some of those thoughts.
I'm anxious to hear, again, you touched on it, I think, in the first program that we did together. But before we talk about the road you traveled, you told me yesterday about a young man that you had hunted with recently, and you had a conversation. This was apparently just a week or two ago, wasn't it?
That's correct.
As we speak. Tell our listeners that story, because I think it really illustrates what you're talking about.
Well, this wonderful young man was hunting with my son and I in Alaska, and he was talking about how he loves to hunt, but he has to spend most of his time on the slope, the North Slope in Alaska, in the drilling fields. And while he likes what he does, it's not really what he wants to do. His passion is being in the outdoors, in the wild, working with the wild. And he said, I don't know how I could ever do that. And I said, well, you know, this is a passion God has given you. You know, what you should think about is starting a business by creating a product that would be that could be used for people who enjoy hiking, hunting, you know, you're working with, you know, with animals or whatever it is. You know,
he wanted to be an entrepreneur. Is that right?
Well, he wanted to be able to support the life that he enjoys the most.
I see.
And I wasn't necessarily looking for a business opportunity, but and neither was I when I started. And I'd like to tell you a little bit different story because we didn't come to a conclusion on what he should do. But he has. But the point I made to him was that the Proverbs chapter 27, verse 8 says that like a bird that wanders from a nest is a man who wanders from his place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what that means is that if we are trained in a field and we really understand it, then we should work in that field and find opportunities that can help us to be more effective in that field. Example, a teacher came to me once and said, those are real ideas, great ideas about starting a business. He says, and I'm going to change my job. I'm going from teaching to real estate. I said, well, what do you know about real estate? He said, well, nothing. I just know there are people making a lot of money in real estate. And I said, that's really not a great idea. I mean, what's going on in the field that you're in? He said, well, they're cutting costs. They have real cost problems. Well, what are the problems that teachers are having? She began to enumerate a number of problems. I said, why don't you solve those problems? You know, and provide a product that solves that problem that makes the school more effective. She went away thinking about that. But, you know, and that's the issue. You know, we need to go where God has given us a passion. Mm-hmm. And the story I wanted to tell you is about a young man who was a runner. You know, he worked just to cover his costs. He was, he had a day job, quote unquote, but he loved to run. And every weekend he would go on a running, you know, he'd do 5K, 10K, you know, marathons. And he said to his wife, he said, you know, the biggest problem I have is that I need more nutrition. But you can't eat in a race like this. I need something that I can just get some, you know, energy, some protein from. So she sat in the kitchen, and together they mixed up a batch of stuff, which, you know, was high energy, high protein. And he began to use this in his races, and he found, you know, they've modified a little bit. They've added a little flavor and, you know, to it. And he began to use these, and people started asking, what are you eating? And he would tell them. They said, well, could I buy one from you? And so his wife said, well, yeah, let's just make a big batch and we'll wrap them in cellophane. And they began to sell them at races. And soon more people wanted them and more people wanted them. What was his cost? His time in the kitchen, a few ingredients, and some wax paper. You know, soon he was making thousands of these and he hired somebody to make them for him and print a cover for them. Well, this is the story of Power Bar.
Oh,
and,
sure.
Amazing.
And, and this guy built a $30 to $50 million business starting with no money from scratch in an area which he knew there was a problem. And since he identified the problem for himself, other people said, I have the same problem.
So, Dr. Eldred, for the person listening right now who feels like their world has collapsed because they've just been laid off or the company has left, as happened to you, they're looking at that and seeing that as a dead end and hope is gone. You're saying that's an amazing opportunity to reassess the gifts that God has given you and perhaps redirect your life.
That's correct. It's a horrible example, but after a forest fire, what the forest fire does is devastate a lot of things, but it releases seed. Mm-hmm. And that's the seed that grows the next forest. You know, and we are going through a forest fire, if you wish, in the economy. I mean, somebody said that, you know, if your neighbor's out of work, it's a recession. If you're out of work, it's a depression.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you may be in a depression, but this is a great time to once again reaffirm your faith in God. Is God really with you or not? And to trust that he is going to be with you. And then take that trust and say, okay, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And ask him. When I was looking for a business opportunity during this period of depression, it was my depression, you know, I was with a friend and we were talking about business ideas. And he said, well, I've got a lot of business ideas. And I said, well, I really don't want to start anything. I mean, start a business? You got to be kidding. I said, well, you know, what else are we going to do? So we sat there, thought, you know, I can't find a job. You know, might as well think about that. And he began to list a number of ideas. And as he listed those ideas, I heard God's voice clearly say to me, that's it.
Wow.
And it took me a second or two to register, and he's still moving on. So I stopped him and I said, back up, back up, back up, that one. And we took that idea, and then over the next 90 days, and that's a long time, and I know people are, the pressure is enormous, but we began to stretch and pull that idea and shape it into a business concept, which took us 20 years and built a $400 million business. Mm. You know, so God wants to help you. He wants to lead you. He's as interested in your business life and your economic life, if you wish, as he is in your spiritual life. They're totally interlinked.
So there's a very strong linkage between the business plan that you come up with and the spiritual dimension of your relationship with the Lord. You could do this without having that spiritual dimension. You mentioned a number of companies that have done well. I would doubt that a lot of those guys started on their knees, the ones who did that. But it is the
That's
place
right.
if you know Christ.
Absolutely. Christ for us is our great salvation. He's our deliverer. And it isn't simply spiritually. You know, that's important, and it's eternally, that's the most important thing. But he also wants to take care of us physically. Mm-hmm. There's so many promises around this. He said, you know, Jeremiah 29:11, I want to do this for your good and for your welfare. You know, the idea has constantly been that he wants to take care of us. We often reject his ideas because we are so bound by our traditions.
This is a fascinating concept.
It's so filled with hope, Doctor. That's what I appreciate.
It is, because there are a lot of people despairing
yes.
out there now. Mm-hmm. Chuck Colson always said to me, despair is a sin. You know, when I look at the national scene and I look at what's taking place around us, it's sometimes easy for me to say, this country's gone. I mean, we are just heading into a spiral that we will not get out of. But he always said there is hope in everything. Mm-hmm. And he had an impact on me by saying that. The person that we're talking to today who has pursued a job possibility for 2 years and has received 150 rejection letters or no letters, as we described, has probably lost hope. And we can't live without hope. And you're offering an approach that says, there is always hope. Mm-hmm. You go back to your relationship with Christ and you ask him what he wants you to do and take a whole new look at your life and where it's going. Would that summarize
that? That's exactly mm-hmm. right, Doctor. That's very well said.
Well, you and I have been talking in the last couple of days, and there are other illustrations of what you're talking about that I want us to share with our listeners. And I would like to just continue this next time. Can you do that with us?
That'd be a wonderful opportunity.
Because there are examples that I think will light a fire mm-hmm. in the creative minds of the people who are listening to us. And so we will pick it up here. I appreciate this approach because I know there are so many people out there who desperately need a little encouragement. Mm-hmm. Let's give them some more of it next time.
Looking forward to it.
And, Doctor, we know there's still someone listening who's not convinced and they're thinking, I can't do this. They need to return tomorrow, don't they, Dr. Eldred?
Absolutely. We've got some great surprises for them tomorrow.
All right. So stay tuned, everyone. I really hope what you heard today has broadened your horizons to a new way of thinking. In fact, if you are a little intrigued by this discussion, I'd invite you to visit our Family Talk Facebook page. We would love to hear your feedback and even invite you to answer a couple of questions that we've provided there. For instance, if you have started a business during a recession, what worked for you and what didn't? Weigh in there. Just search search for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk on Facebook. And to find out what our guest, Dr. Eldred, is up to today, you can also visit us at drjamesdobson.org for a link on that information, or even to request a complimentary broadcast CD of this program. I can't help but think that this might be a great resource to pass along to someone you know who really is on the edge and needs some advice on how to get started in the business world. You can do that, drjamesdobson.org, or if you prefer to call us, the number is 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. Here in the close, this quick reminder that all during the month of July, we're offering our 3-CD set called Defending America. That's on the website as well, so be sure and look for that. Thank you so much for joining us today, and do return tomorrow for more with our special guest, Dr. Ken Eldred. That's next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.